Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
The Packers are moving on. Aaron Rodgers has done it again. And Mason Crosby, a hero for Green Bay.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
Reach the island. Guess
who's back? So I think that's the logical explanation.
Let's just, you know, say that didn't happen.
It was a return to greatness. It was a return to form.
It's crazy. And he just kind of flew under the radar.
Get this out there so I sound good on Cheesehead Radio.
Yeah.
No negativity allowed, sir.
So I think that's actually going to be really exciting to watch. I don't think there's anything positive we can say. There's a lot.
Oh, you were looking for positive. Yeah.
I guess that's what I meant. Positive, I guess.
Hello, Packer Nation, and welcome to another season of Cheesehead Radio. We are back as the Packers open the 2017 season. We're here to talk about it and bring you our super hot takes and just some good old-fashioned down-home discussion. Your hosts tonight are the stunningly peculiar CD Angeli of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV, the resplendent Michelle Bruton of Cheesehead TV and Bleacher Report, the radiant Jamie Snowden of Cheesehead TV, and little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. Sponsoring the Packers Talk Network this year again are the fine folks at Ticket King. Over 25 years in business in Wisconsin, selling tickets for Packers, Badgers, and other events. They've got a great reputation for excellent customer service and prices. They never add any fees to their tickets. 100% money-back guarantee, satisfaction guarantee. Be sure to check out their website, theticketking.com. So let's get this party started with some Packers news.
Packers news.
All right, well, another Packers season is upon us, and you know what that means. Our annual prayer to the injury gods that the Packers roster will be spared from their wrath. Heading into the season opener against Seattle, the Packers have declared rookie defensive tackle Montrevious Adams out, and right tackle Brian Bulaga is questionable with an ankle injury.
Now, Adams, who just underwent foot surgery, is hoping to avoid going on injured reserve, but that might be the move the Packers have to make in order to clear a spot on the roster when wide receiver Geronimo Allison returns from his one-game suspension.
Speaking of injured reserve, on Friday, the Packers released special teams contributor and fullback Joe Carriage from IR with an injury settlement. It was unlikely the Packers would keep both Carriage and Aaron Ripkowski on the roster, but Carriage could still return later in the season depending on the terms of his injury settlement.
And while we're talking about negotiations, those who are concerned about the future of the Packers' offensive line will be excited to hear that on Friday, reports surfaced that the Packers and center Corey Linsley opened extension talks. Now, Linsley, who is set to hit the free agency market in March, missed 7 games in 2016, which may make him more hesitant to test the market.
And in former Packers player news, the Minnesota Vikings released former Packers first-round pick Dayton Jones, reaching an injury settlement with the outside linebacker after placing him on injured reserve with a shoulder injury. Even if the Packers might have once upon a time been interested in a reunion, and their actions this spring certainly did not suggest that they were, the team's recent signing of Ahmad Brooks makes that very unlikely.
Now, word is on the street that Seahawks running back Eddie Lacy is considering doing a Lambeau leap when he reunites with his former team on Sunday. Let's hope that the Packers defense prevents that from happening, if not the fans.
Now, if you'll be attending the game in person at Lambeau this weekend, keep an eye out for some tasty new treats at the stadium. The Pack House now features a bacon dia stuffed with a whopping 15 strips of bacon, as well as something called bacon blitz bread, 16 strips of bacon wrapped around a cheese curd stuffed pretzel baguette. What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. I think if you eat too many of those, you're not going to have to worry about that anymore. Finally, in some local feel-good news, the Wisconsin natives and filmmakers behind the Packers-themed romantic comedy, The 60-Yard Line, who only hope to see their film screened in Green Bay, are enjoying a run spanning more than 50 cities. Now, if you're headed to the cinema before or after the Packers play this weekend, check out to see if it's playing near you.
And that was your Packers news of opening week. Now it's time for your...
Packers. From Packer.
Much has been made of former Packer and Sunday's opposing running back Eddie Lacy's weight as a Seattle Seahawk. After finding out that the former Packer is getting paid to make weight, at Fizay727 said, "Just a friendly reminder that Eddie Lacy is getting paid more than my tuition debt to not be fat, but really I'm fine."
Speaking of Lacy, much ado has been made out of Lacy's ponderings of whether or not he plans to do a Lambeau leap if he scores as a Seahawk tomorrow. At SwarmStar11 thinks he's figured out Lacy's motivation. Breaking: Green Bay Packer fan gets hot dog and nachos stolen during Eddie Lacy's Lambeau leap.
In other news, Ted Thompson has shocked the world with some of his offseason moves, with out-of-character free agent signings of Martellus Bennett, Lance Kendricks, Devon House, and now linebacker Ahmad Brooks. Says the Packer answer, on the dawn of this new Packer season, feel a little bad for the fire Ted Thompson guy. Whole world view is shook right now.
That guy still comes across every once in a while, and he tries, and I was like, oh, you're so sad. Finally, with the Patriots' embarrassing loss at home to the Chiefs Thursday night, which, by the way, makes them the team with the worst record in the NFL as of right now, Aaron Rodgers has been thrust into the MVP talk for this season. As the fans of the 31 other NFL teams celebrated angry Tom Brady, at MP Krang provided the best argument of the day to someone else's tweet of, "Brady is 40 years old and just threw a football 60 yards in the air on the money. Tell me why he isn't the best to ever play quarterback again." "Oh, wait," said Krang, "because Aaron Rodgers was born."
Well, go take a look at angry Tom Brady face after that mic drop as we get ready to cheer on the Packers in their season opener. And thanks, Frank, for your Cheesehead Radio Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the Week.
Yeah. I feel like one of those late night TV shows, and that was like the band on the right finishing, and then the announcer always goes, "Yeah, all right, tonight we have." Anyway,
well, that's your new job.
I like the new stings and stuff. Very nice.
Yeah. We're working on it.
Good job.
Good job, CD. Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you. And it's awfully good to see all of you back here in the Cheesy Studio. What is this now? Our eighth season.
Yeesh. We are getting old.
It counts when you're having this much fun. Yeah.
It really does. I think we're all grown old together here. My goodness.
Yep.
All right. Well, welcome Jamie, Michelle, and Al to Cheesehead Radio. And welcome
to all
of our fans coming back to Cheesehead Radio. Hopefully you tune in all season to both Cheesehead Radio and all of our great podcasts here at the Packers Talk Radio Network. Just head on over to PackersTalk.com. You can check out a whole list of great Packers podcasts all season long. But this is CHR. We got to talk about everything going on with the Packers going on tomorrow. We got the Seattle Seahawks in the season opener. The Packers organization actually put out a big thing yesterday. Best season opener ever. Do you guys agree?
If it's being played at Lambeau Field, certainly. If it's being played in Seattle, not so much, at least as of late.
Well, I didn't see that, but why are we proclaiming something to be the best before it happens? Don't you have to wait and see what happens? And then if it's a really, really good result, then you can say it's the best. You know, the Packers get blown out. I don't think it'll be the best season opener ever.
Best matchup, like most desirable matchup. But for me, that would always be Packers-Bears at Lambeau. There's no better potential season opener than that, in my opinion.
Except that, for the 1 year I went, and they got blown out by the Bears, but go ahead.
Well, I was trying to think, when it said best season opener ever, I was trying to think of the last, like, one that I was really hyped for, and I feel like it was a Bears game. I don't remember what year it was, but it was within the last 10 years. It was when I was dating my now husband, and I just remember I couldn't watch the game, and so, because I was taking him somewhere for, like, a late birthday present, and having to, like, I took the next day off work, so I was like, I'm going to sit down and watch this game, and it was, like, a nail-biter at the end. That was, versus the Bears, that was exciting, but, like, how can I think it's going to be the best ever if it hasn't happened yet? I mean, and it's not like Seattle was someone we played in the playoffs last year. It's not like it's the Atlanta game. You know, if we were playing Atlanta or Dallas now, we really like to add hyperbolic statements to things now.
Well, just so you know, the Packers put out a list, a top five season openers of all time. And they've already placed this game at number 4 out of the top 5 of all time.
What? Oh, come on. No, I'm serious.
Well, all right. Read us the other ones. Go ahead. I want to hear this.
Okay. Number 5 was New Orleans at the Packers in 2011 at Lambeau Field.
Okay. That was fun.
That was good. Number 3 was Bears Packers in 1964.
What year was that one?
1964.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You folks all remember that one?
Yep. It was a great one. I had 10th row seats for that one. Number 2, Chicago Bears at Packers in 1942.
Oh.
This was at City Stadium. Yes.
Black and blue.
Really testing us here, aren't they?
Yes. And number 1 of all time was the Baltimore Colts at the Packers on September 10th, 1966. At Milwaukee County Stadium, Johnny Unitas versus Bart Starr.
Yeah.
That was a great
game. Who made this list?
Cliff Crystal.
And how old was this person?
Wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait.
Are you being serious or are you kidding?
I am.
No, Cliff Crystal
made the list.
Oh, well, then it makes sense. Sorry, go ahead.
Because he was alive to be at all these games, so.
Yes, exactly. Go ahead.
So I'm sitting here, and I'm like, I'm going to see if I can Google this while you're going to list it, so I can try to find context. In 2015, Cliff wrote the top 5 best season openers, and I don't think any of them were the same ones that you just said.
Well, you tend to forget things sometimes as you get older, you know.
So,
let's cut him a break.
You know, two years ago, it was Packers-Bears in 57. Packers, Bears in 59. Packers, Saints. So that one was still the same. Mm-hmm. Packers versus the Minneapolis Marines. Yeah, in 21. And Packers versus the Lions in 55.
Wait, what? In 1921?
That's like really going out of your way, okay, to pick old games. And why throw in
New Orleans at the time of the game?
That?
Holy cow.
I want to know, why do you throw in New Orleans with those other 4? Let's go with 5 ancient games, and then it makes more sense. Oh, that's ridiculous.
Okay, the New Orleans game, I will say, I kind of remember it. It was the only time the Packers hosted the NFL kickoff game, and were defending Super Bowl champions.
I'm not disputing that it belongs on the list. I'm disputing that it belongs on a list with 4 other games from the 1920s to the 1950s.
That's from this millennium.
On that list, it doesn't belong. Anybody else's list, sure.
Just love that he wrote a list 2 years ago, and then
I'm glad you found that.
The only game that remains is the Packers-New Orleans game.
Yeah, something must have happened to him that game that made it extra memorable for him. I don't know.
Yeah, he just picked now, other random old games.
Now, when was the Fail Mary?
2000. That was 13.
So didn't the Packers play the Seahawks for the season opener in 2014? But they did in 2014 also, after the Fail Mary. Wouldn't that be up on the list for just pure hype and like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to play these guys again after the Fail Mary? I mean, that to me would be up on the list just for pure hype and anticipation.
But that's sort of the same problem we're having now. I would maybe put that on a list of upcoming, like we're doing right now today. People are saying this is one of the best when it has been played. That one would have been great before it was played. When you ended it 36-16 after the Phil Mary adding insult to injury, get that, to put that on the worst openers of all time.
Yes. If they would have won, it would have been one of the best ones ever. But, yeah, they did lose that, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't like to think about that one. I don't like to think about a lot of the recent Seattle Packers games. This is a very weird feeling for me. I feel like last year's was fun, but before that, we just have really, really crummy ways to end games or looking awful.
Well, you get the feeling that the Packers and the Bears, you know, and I've been chumming around with a couple of Bears fans lately, and they're finally just kind of, you know, being concessionary and says, yes, you're right, you guys actually, we hate you, but you're really good. And so, I mean, they get it. But, you know, the saying has always been that the Packers just match up well. I remember Holmgren always used to say that. Well, we're not really that much. We're not going to say we're the superior team. We just match up well against the Bears. And that's been kind of the line for some time. You do get that feeling that the Seahawks are just one of those teams that match up well against the Packers. And that's what makes them a little bit scary going into this game, is that other than last year, they've kind of had our number for the past couple seasons.
I think one of the big problems in a Packers-Seahawks matchup of the contemporary teams is that, I mean, obviously these are generalizations, but they're criticisms that have been lobbed at the Packers. The Packers recently have been criticized for kind of taking their foot off the gas, or the defense getting gas towards the end of games and kind of letting people claw their way back. And I think on the flip side, the Seahawks are a team who are really good at never being out of the game and using Russell Wilson and using their weapons to claw their way back. So when you have those two factors together in the same game, that's usually not going to be a good result for the Green Bay Packers. Luckily, in the last 2 years, the Packers have done enough to get up ahead and not relinquish that lead. But it's always, I think, a real consideration and a real potential problem when these teams play.
When I think of the Seattle Seahawks playing, they're just such a physical team. They're tackling, their aggression toward the ball. And I just don't see that as much, especially from the Packers' defense. And so, like what you're saying, Michelle, is a good matchup. It's just, they're really strong at the things that I feel that the Packers are a little bit weaker at.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so frustrating. And because it's like, we just can't overcome that. Whereas we're playing a team that isn't as strong in those things, it's easier to kind of mask the arm tackles or, you know, a couple of, you know, third quarter lulls kind of thing.
Well, definitely. I think that's going to be the storyline tomorrow, along with whether our defense is actually going to show up. And obviously whether Aaron Rodgers, who did not play much in the preseason, is he in midseason form? Is he, you know, how is he doing? I mean, obviously there's a lot of hype being put on him this year as a potential MVP candidate. He did finish last season with running the table, which put him on this pretty high echelon. Although, of course, his detractors, Skip Bayless and such, will say, well, why wasn't he being consistent all season? Why was he so bad? Yeah. So if he continues that, I think there's a lot to be said. But I think one of the big storylines, in addition to just Russell Wilson versus Aaron Rodgers, is going to be Eddie Lacy. And sometimes the fear is that here's a guy who's going to go to another team, has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. It's going to give away all the secrets, you know, all this, you know, he's going to say, here's how you're going to attack this defense. Here's what you can do. Here's where the holes are. A lot of press with Eddie Lacy this week. What are you guys taking out of this?
Eddie Lacy has all of the secrets. Like, I guess my impression of Eddie Lacy is that he's so withdrawn and just quiet that I don't feel like he knows all of the Packers' secrets. And that is can easily just be an assumption. I just don't think he's going there with stick-it-to-them attitude and knowing how really to defeat the Packers. If he was that engaged in knowing all of our stuff, I feel he would have been better when he was here.
Yeah, I think he's just there so he doesn't get fined. No, but seriously. It's funny because we all have this same perception of Eddie Lacy, you know, like how important is football to him, and how really into football is he? I'm just always curious if if we're all correct or if we're all wrong, you know. And I don't know. I mean, I don't like the fact that he kept getting asked about doing Lambeau leaps at I don't know who was asking him those questions, but I'd like to smack that guy or girl in the I wouldn't do that, but let's not extol violence here. Okay, let me backtrack. I'd like to give them a piece of my mind for asking that question.
One thing I kind of love about the scouting your opponent, hiring the enemy type storyline is that Eddie Lacy can try to tell Seattle everything he knows about what this Packers defense looks like, but I don't think he's really going to know much because for the first time in years and years and years, there's been so much turnover in this personnel group that when the Seahawks and Eddie Lacy face this defense, they're going to be looking at Quentin Dial and Chris Odom and Ahmad Brooks and Lindsey Pipkins and Devon House. And I just think that Lacy's not really even going to know what defense he's looking at. There are so many different combinations and rush packages and exotic blitzes the Packers can use with these new players that they've acquired somewhat out of character. And so I think that's really exciting because the Seahawks, I think, are really at a disadvantage here because I don't think they really know how to scout this Packers team, especially since a lot of these players were added after the preseason. There's no tape.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been one that said, you know, when Dom Capers would take a lot of criticism that he was just coaching the pieces that he had, you know, and he always didn't have the best pieces back there, you know. I mean, when Matthews was at his best, at least they had that. But there wasn't a lot of support all the time in the secondary or with the other linebackers. So I'm really interested to see if this is finally the year when Capers has all the pieces to do what he wants to do all the time and be successful with it. So I'm looking forward to seeing that in this first game for sure.
I think one thing, and you bring up Dom Capers, and Acme Packing Company had a nice article on this a couple of weeks ago, but just that Dom Capers appears to be switching things up a little bit. He really has been trying to adapt. And of course, like you said, I don't think Packer fans are ever going to be happy with Dom Capers. John Rahor certainly never was, but Morgan Burnett's been working on that sort of that hybrid linebacker position, and they've really done a good job against tight ends and running backs. They're working well. And now with the upgrade of Josh Jones, the upgrade of some of the defensive backs that they've picked in, and possibly having, Rollins and Randall, if they could, one of them could at least step up, really could make this defense very different. And you're right, therefore Eddie Lacy probably wouldn't have a lot of information. There's nothing you can do against a good defense. The problem is, where are the Packers always going to be weak? Right up the middle, and that's of course why we had to go pick up Ahmad Brooks, because I think it was pretty clear that up the middle, both the pass rush and, you know, getting those passes right up the middle in the preseason, still a major blow for those Packers.
Well, I mean, Ahmad Brooks is really going to be more on the outside as opposed to in the middle. I think that the change in the schemes that we're seeing, where we're going with defensive backs or safety specifically playing inside linebacker on what's supposed to be passing downs is the move to try to offset that problem that you mentioned the Packers have always had with throws over the middle. So we'll see if that does the trick.
So switching up just a little bit, Michelle.
Yeah.
Your favorite player. Who's your favorite player?
Who's my favorite player?
Ty Montgomery. Yes. No.
Yeah, I'm a big Ty Montgomery supporter. I really was a big John Crockett supporter, if we all remember. But unfortunately, that never panned out.
The ship has sailed, yes.
That ship has sailed. But I have been so surprised this offseason to encounter quite a few people on the Twitter who can't wrap their minds around the fact that Ty Montgomery is a running back. They feel that Mike McCarthy doesn't like to, nor has he successfully converted receivers to running back. They don't think that Montgomery has a running back skill set. In reality, Montgomery was always a running back. Wide receiver was the fish out of water position for him. He's built like a running back. He always wanted to be a running back. I think he's going to be, I'd love to think about what this game plan with him is going to look like because, you know, Aaron Rodgers has so many new weapons, and I'm so excited to see what Martellus Bennett and Lance Kendricks look like, but Montgomery could get 20 carries this game. Easy. Have any of those people on Twitter making those comments, did they watch last season and see Montgomery?
I don't understand how you can see everything that Ty Montgomery did at running back last year, in addition to all of the heads-up plays that he has made throughout his time with the Packers, his physical build that I'll never forget when he went to go catch the kickoff and he put his feet out of bounds and caught the ball. Like, he's so smart. And then he did so well last year at converting. If anything, that's when I would have expected to have seen the struggles of it's a mid-season conversion of playing positions. Why people just like to hate really stupid things. I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, come on.
I'm not 100%
sure. What are you talking
about? He's not your big Eddie Lacy, Marshawn Lynch power running back. But that's most running backs, like, aren't that. We don't have all of them. Like, you need to mix it up. You need to have some, you know, lightning with your thunder. And he's good at that. And he's shown he was good at that last year. We'll be good at that this year, too.
How about you, Al? Where do you stand on the Ty Montgomery train? Are you buying, or?
Oh, I am. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm really anxious to see him get full-time snaps back there. I love the guy's vision. I love the fact that he can make something out of nothing, which is something that I thought Eddie Lacy had a problem at times. You know, he would just kind of pull up and then get swallowed up. Montgomery always seems to find a little seam, a little crease, and he's shiftier than you might think. And he's also built. I mean, the guy is solid rock. You know, he's not huge like Lacy, but then few running backs are, right? But he is a solidly built player. So I'm looking forward to seeing him, without a doubt, get the bulk of the snaps here.
Well, you know, there's always the fear. There's always the fear that, you know, he tends to run around people. You know, obviously he'll take contact, but, you know, there's always that dream that as you get late in the game, you want somebody to just hand that ball off to and just hammer that defense and really discourage them. You're right. So I agree with Jamie. I said it's nice to have that mix, but I think Ty Montgomery is going, you know, he's got a lot to prove this year. I mean, I think he's going to have his chance to really step up, get the bulk of the carries, and we're going to see if he's going to be the guy that can actually do it. I think a lot depends on Aaron Ripkowski. I think he did a really nice job opening some holes when they used him correctly last year when he was being utilized. And I think if Ripkowski and Montgomery really get a good vibe going, that might be a little bit of your thunder to go with your lightning. All right, transitioning. Packers, two tight end sets. We've gone from having just maybe a couple of okay tight ends. Jared Cook, of course, no longer with the Packers this year, despite his fantastic Billie Jean catch of the playoffs last year. But the Packers are looking with Martellus Bennett. Kendrick is in there. We've got a chance to really open up some two tight end sets. Are you guys excited about that? Do you think we're going to see a lot of that? But we still have this full stable of wide receivers, too. So what are you guys looking for in the passing game this year?
I am so excited about this. Like, I'm literally dancing. So I'm not even going to stop and pretend to be polite and be like, Michelle can talk. No, I am excited right now.
We are here for
all
it.
All I can think of
go for it, Jamie.
Is, like, just the great years with Chimura and Bubba Franks, and just then how having that for Favre opened up being able to have, you know, like, random people, Robert Ferguson as a wide receiver, and I don't, like, all these just whatever people as wide receivers, and it all looked good. I'm so excited at the fact that we'll finally be able to do the core of the West Coast offense and be able to let Aaron Rodgers and the wide receivers who we have that are amazingly talented actually be able to get things done and be as explosive as they really can be and should have been for years. And they've been good, but it's always been like, they have all these weapons. It should be more and more and more. I'm like, I'm so excited. I'm like out of breath. I'm dancing right now. I've got little like movements going on. I'm all in on this. Very excited.
So randomly enough, of the projects I was working on this off season, I ended up writing a lot of features for some other publications about H-backs in the NFL, because I think that's a really exciting position that we're kind of seeing a big renaissance at in the NFL. You look at Kyle Juszczyk and Cam Bray and those guys who played tight end in college but are kind of playing fullback, H-back in the NFL. And so I was talking to Matt Bowen, for one of the articles I was writing, and I wanted, this didn't even really end up in the article. I was just personally curious. But I wanted to talk to him about what he thought of Martellus Bennett and Lance Kendricks, and if he thought specifically that the Packers would use Lance Kendricks in that kind of H-back move tight end role. And he absolutely did. He said, if you have a situation where you have Jordy Nelson out wide, Devontae Adams out wide, Martellus Bennett lined up, Lance Kendricks as the H-back, Ty Montgomery in the backfield, you can't really, how do you defend that? You just can't. Tight ends, move tight ends, H-backs can create so many defensive mismatches, especially if you have got a kind of weak safety. And, you know, people, I think, don't think of Mike McCarthy as someone who, he has a lot of two tight end sets, but I also think they've never really had the personnel to do it. And so I was actually surprised to see a little bit of it in that third preseason game, because I thought that was something they might keep a little bit more secret, but it's here and it's happening. And I think we're going to see it multiple times a game. And like Jamie, I'm really, really excited about it.
Well, what can I add to all this exuberance?
You could be a voice of doubt, Al. You could do that.
No, unfortunately, I can only do that if that's what I really felt, and I don't. So I'm on board with them. I don't know that I'm as excited as Jamie and Michelle are, but I'm certainly very interested to see it and to see what happens.
Well, I think I'll do the voice of doubt, because, you know, someone has to.
You're better at that. It just comes natural to you. I don't know why.
It does. You know, we need a little negativity. No, and it's not being negative, because I think, you know, obviously it's a good problem to have. I mean, you have Ty Montgomery and him coming out of the backfield, and of course our wide receivers, and then a couple of tight ends. And then the thing you worry about is, number one, is Aaron Rodgers, who at this stage of his game probably should be, this really should be his best years, you know, right at the end of his prime. He should really have the physicalness still to be able to execute a lot of things that he wants to do, throw the ball, you know, 50 yards or however long he needs to, but have the vision and the experience to not zoom in just on Jordy Nelson like he used to, and just focus and maybe miss some of those other receivers. The only thing that comes around is, do you have enough Aaron Rodgers passes to go around? Especially when you look at a guy like Martellus Bennett, who is a force of nature, a bit of a talker, and not someone you're going to contain. Talk was, of course, in New England that perhaps he didn't get as many balls as he wanted, and became a little bit of a grumbly guy in the locker room. You hope that there's enough that Aaron Rodgers can get that ball around. But in the end, if you've really got a team attitude, you really don't care. You just want the ball to get to whoever's open and win the game. And I think as long as you're winning, everyone's happy. It's when you struggle that suddenly you get the negative feelings of, well, you know, I should be getting the ball more. And, you know, and Martellus Bennett is an outspoken young man.
I think we killed that topic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Up next. Well, I mean, something I wanted to throw out, which you kind of touched on in the news there a little bit about that Packers movie, The 60-Yard Line. Mm-hmm. We've actually been helping to do a little promotion with them. It's going to be playing at different theaters through Wisconsin over the next couple of weeks. But we actually did a Facebook contest where the winner of the contest got free tickets to the screening in Green Bay tonight, VIP entry to a pre-movie dinner, a VIP entrance to a after party, I'm trying to get all this right, and a tailgate tomorrow at the actual house that the movie was based on and filmed at. So we had one lucky winner. His name was Josh Miller, who won that contest thanks to the 60-Yard Line and PackersTalk.com. So just wanted to mention that and say congrats to Josh Miller. Hope he has a great time.
Sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah. Wish I could be there.
All right. Do you guys think we're ready for the Hot Pockets?
So ready. Yes. I haven't had lunch yet.
Come on. Hot Pockets. Herb sauce.
Cheesy drizzle. Oh, yeah.
All right. Hot Pockets. All right.
Okay.
Hot Pockets are where each of us gets a chance to go around the horn and talk about something that we're a little bit excited about, grumpy about, whatever it would be. I will start out with my Hot Pocket. Demarius Randall had an interview a couple days ago, I think, with Sando from ESPN, and was pretty vocal in his assessment of the defense and really spoke about Aaron Rodgers. And obviously he is bullish on the Packers' offensive potential this season, but really came out and was pretty adamant in saying, you know, it really doesn't matter if our offense can put up 30 points. There are times that we let the team down last year. And he said, you know, really, it's going to come down to the corners and safeties. And this is him calling himself out. He says, I've been able to get my hands on some balls, and sometimes he's made plays, but oftentimes he's not. And he said, you know, it is time for me to step up and start putting my hands on some interceptions and creating some turnovers. And with the investment in our corners, you know, Josh Jones or some of the other guys we've picked up through the draft, Devon House coming back, you're really hoping that this secondary is going to go out there. Our safeties, statistically speaking, DVOA, we've looked them over. We've got a real nice set of safeties who do pretty well, but it is those corners that has really let us down throughout the season last year. I think Randall's right. He says that they're going to go as far as the corners and safeties can take them. I think we definitely saw that in the playoffs last year, that sometimes Gunter can, you know, shut down a good Giants receiver, but the next week you look lost. So thank you, Randall. Back it up. And that is my Hot Pocket.
Hot Pocket.
Jamie, you're up.
Okay. Anyone who's looking at the script probably didn't think I had one, but I actually was trying to debate between two for a while, and so I've just decided to pick one and go with it. So when I was talking about the tight ends, I said that I'm really excited because when you have two tight ends, I think you can make mediocre or average wide receivers look better. And last year, you know, if you look at Devontae Adams, his first couple of years in the league, you know, he would stand out in training camp and preseason, and we'd all get really excited. And then he would drop a ton of balls, and we'd all be just very confused. And then last year happened, and he was amazing. And so, well, I do think that having Bennett and Kendrick will, regardless of which Adams shows up, will be helpful. I am interested to see if Devontae Adams has, you know, the Packers have had players that have had their kind of third year, amazing year, and then go back and fizzle. So I'd like to see, is he going to continue his upward trend or just stay mediocre, because we really need as many weapons around Aaron Rodgers as we can. As CD, you just touched on in your Hot Pocket, our defense, even though we've beefed it up and they all seem to know their problems, has been consistently unreliable for us. So I am just interested to see which Devontae Adams is going to show up this season. And that is my Hot Pocket.
Hot Pocket.
Okay. I'll chime in with mine. I've got a double stuffed Hot Pocket. Yes. A double shot of Jones's in my Hot Pockets. First, I'd want to see some more playing time for Josh Jones at inside linebacker in passing situations. I think he's got the ability, athletic, and aggressiveness to track and get after Russell Wilson and make things a little more difficult for him, especially when Wilson tries to scramble out of the pocket. Excuse me. And my second Hot Pocket is for James Jones, former Packers receiver who announced his retirement this week, received a bunch of great, you know, best wishes from former teammates from the Packers. And we'd like to do the same here from PackersTalk.com. He's a great guy on the field and off the field, does a lot of charity work. So, James, congratulations, best wishes for whatever's next for you, and you will always be a Packer to us. And that was my
Hot Pocket. Hot Pocket.
Sorry.
That was a double.
Right? Yes.
Double stuffed. Very good.
Well, after that lovely uplifting note, I don't want to end on a downer, so I'll temper my Hot Pocket a little bit, but I did just want to touch on something I wrote in a column for Chiefshead TV this week about the Packers' offensive line depth and basically the fact that there is none.
we're already seeing this kind of rear its head with Galaga being questionable heading into this week's game. This is one of those times we really wish we still have the probable designation, because it'd be great to know if he's probable or questionable for real. But basically, I think this is, you know, the Packers starting five, if it could remain intact this season, above average, maybe top 10 in the league. I'm really feeling good about the group the Packers have put together at offensive line. The problem comes if you have to start subbing people in, and it gets shallow real fast. If Blog is out, I imagine that maybe Jason Spriggs would go. Kyle Murphy could also go. I guess in some ways injuries at the tackle position are a little bit better than at the guard position this year, where you've got players like Lucas Patrick and Justin McCray who have virtually no NFL experience or very little to speak of at those interior backup positions. But basically, when all comes down to it, I think one of the positions the Packers can least afford any injuries at this season is offensive line. And so really hoping that that doesn't become a storyline of this game against the Seahawks tomorrow / Sunday. And that is my
Cheesehead Radio, Packers game predictions.
In what has been officially named the fourth greatest season opener of all time, I feel like I should have dramatic music when I say that. Green Bay Packers, tomorrow afternoon, on Sunday afternoon, will be hosting the Seattle Seahawks. Big matchup, a little national attention for the Packers right away, after, of course, their great end to the season last year. How are the Packers going to fare? We're going to go around the horn, starting with Michelle.
All right, so we know, we talked about this a little at the beginning of the show, but when the Packers have beaten the Seahawks as of late, they have done it considerably, to the tune of 38-10 in December 2016 and 27-17 in September of the previous year. But opening week is a tricky beast, and no one needs to be reminded that the Seahawks stunned the Packers 36-16 to open the 2014 season. But that was on Seattle's turf, and this matchup's at Lambeau. And the Packers' offense, in my opinion, has only really gotten better since then, personnel-wise, which is a little bit scary for Seattle. So I'm going Packers win 28-24.
Deal. All right, I'll go next. The Packers are at home. Check. Packers have had virtually no pass rush this preseason. Check. The Packers have difficulty stopping the Seahawks in season openers. Check. That was then, and this is now. Check. It isn't going to be easy, but if you've ever wanted a game under the national spotlight that will purge the public consciousness of the Fail Mary, this is it. Let's get her done. And what is perhaps the best season opener in a generation. Packers 34, Seahawks 30. Jamie.
Okay.
Is up.
I am so excited to have football back, but these first games are always so confounding. At times it can feel like the entire season depends on it. If we lose this game, the season's over. If we win it, we're going to go undefeated. But mostly the games are all rusty teams just trying to get their groove back and find their identity. Both Packers and Seahawks have made recent moves to shore up their defenses, but I'm not confident that either will be as strong as they need to be if we lower scoring. I think with all the rest, I don't think the offenses will be at their full strength yet. My score is pretty close to Michelle's. I'm going Packers 27, Seahawks 24.
While I believe this will be a close game for most of the day, the Packers' multifaceted offense will impose their will in the fourth quarter and lead the Packers to a relatively comfortable victory. Packers 33, Seahawks 24.
All right, so we have a clean sweep.
Now we have a clean sweep.
We do have a clean sweep. Packers going 4-0 here on Cheesehead Radio. Certainly hope it comes true. Looking forward to the game tomorrow. Any last shots here before we close out our first show of the 2017 season?
Well, thank you all so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio. Make sure to head on over to PackersTalk.com, where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like the Packers Talk page on Cheesehead Radio, and all the Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packers Talk iTunes and you'll find them. Be sure to subscribe and leave us a review if you can. You can also listen in by using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or any of your favorite podcasting apps and search for Packers Talk. And finally, please be sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's a wrap. Go Pack Go. Goodbye, everyone. Bye.
Go Pack Go. Enjoy Packers football tomorrow, everybody.
Be after the win.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.